5. They were nearly the same height. That was the first thing she noticed as she fell in step behind him. Elsor was a touch taller and a fraction broader in the shoulders, but he had a narrow waist and long legs. As Lila followed, she first matched his stride and then began to mimic it. So close to the river, the streets were crowded enough to cloak her pursuit, and she began to feel less like a thief with a mark and more like a cat with its prey. There were so many chances to turn back, but she kept going. Lila had never really bought into fate, but like most people who disavowed religion, she could summon a measure of belief when it was necessary. Elsor wasn't from London. He didn't have an entourage. As she closed the gap, she wondered how many people had even noticed him back at the tavern, besides Jannar. The light in the sun had been low. Had anyone gotten a good look at his face? Once the tournament began, they'd have no faces anyway. Madness, warned a voice. But what did she have to lose? Alucard and the spire? Caring, belonging. It was also overrated. Elsor put his hands in his pockets. Lila put her hands in her pockets. He rolled his neck. She rolled her neck. She had a variety of knives on her, but she didn't plan on killing him. Not if it could be helped. Stealing an identity was one thing. Stealing a life was another. And though she'd certainly killed her fair share, she didn't take it lightly. Still, for her plan to work, something had to happen to Stacion Elsor. He rounded a corner onto a narrow street that led to the docks. The street was jagged and empty, dotted only by darkened shops and a scattering of bins and crates. Elsor was no doubt an excellent magician, but Lila had the element of surprise and no problem playing dirty. A metal bar leaned against a door, winking in the lantern light. It scraped the stones as Lila lifted it, and Elsor spun around. He was fast, but she was faster, pressed into the doorway by the time his eyes found the place she'd been. Flame sparked in the man's palm, and he held the light aloft, shadows dancing down the street. A fire worker. It was the last sign Lila needed. Her lips moved. Magic prickling through her, she summoned a couplet of Blake. Not a song of fire or water, but earth. A planter on the windowsill above him slid off the edge and came crashing down. It missed him by inches, shattering against the street, and Elsor spun to face the sound a second time. As he did, Lila closed the gap and raised the pipe, feeling a little less guilty. Fool me twice, she thought, swinging the bar. His hands came up, too slow to stop the blow, but fast enough to graze the front of her jacket before he collapsed to the street with the sound of dead weight and the hiss of doused flame. Lila patted the drops of fire on her coat and frowned. Kala wouldn't be happy. She set the bar against the wall and knelt to consider Stacion Elsor. Up close, the angles of his face were even sharper. Blood ran from his forehead, but his chest was rising and falling, and Lila felt rather proud of her restraint as she dragged his arm around her shoulders and struggled to her feet under the load. With his head lolling forward and his dark hair covering the wound at his temple, he almost looked like a man too deep in his cups. Now what? She thought, and at the same exact moment, a voice behind her said, What now? Lila spun, dropping Elsor and drawing her dagger at the same time. With a flick of her wrist, the dagger became two, and as she struck metal against metal, the two blades lit, fire licking up their edges. Alucard stood at the mouth of the narrow road, arms crossed. Impressive, he said, sounding decidedly unimpressed. Tell me, are you planning to burn me or stab me or both?
What are you doing here? She hissed.
I really think I should be the one asking that.
She gestured to the body. Isn't it obvious?
Alucard's gaze flicked from the knives down to the metal bar and the crumpled form at Lila's feet.
No, not really, because you couldn't possibly be foolish enough to kill a competitor.
Lila snapped the knives back together, putting out the flames.
I didn't kill him.
Alucard let out a low groan.
Saints, you actually have a death wish.
He gripped his hat.
What were you thinking?
Lila looked around.
There are plenty of transports coming and going. I was going to stash him away on one of them.
And what do you plan to do when he wakes up, turns the boat around, and makes it back in time to have you arrested and still compete?
When Lila didn't answer, she hadn't exactly gotten that far, Alucard shook his head.
You've got a real gift for taking things, Bard. You're not nearly as good at getting rid of them.
Lila held her ground. I'll figure it out. Alucard was muttering curses in a variety of languages under his breath.
And were you following me?
Alucard threw up his hands.
You've assaulted a competitor, I can only imagine, with the daft notion of taking his place. And you honestly have the gall to be affronted at my actions? Did you even think what this would mean for me?
He sounded vaguely hysterical.
This has nothing to do with you.
This has everything to do with me, he snapped. I am your captain. You are my crew.
The barb struck with unexpected force.
When the authorities find out a sailor aboard my ship sabotaged a competitor, what do you think they'll assume? That you were mad enough to do something so stupid on your own? Or that I put you up to it?
He was pale with fury, and the air around them hummed. Indignation flickered through Lila, followed swiftly by guilt. The combination turned her stomach.
Alucard, she started.
Did he see your face?
Lila crossed her arms.
I don't think so.
Alucard paced, muttering, and then dropped to his knee beside Elsor. He rolled the man over and began digging through his pockets.
Are you robbing him?
She asked, incredulous.
Alucard said nothing as he spread the contents of Elsor's coat across the frozen stones. An inn key, a few coins, a handful of folded pages. Tucked in the center of these, Lila saw, was his formal invitation to the Essentage. Alucard plucked the iridescent pin from the collar of the man's coat, then shook his head and gathered up the items. He got to his feet, shoving the articles into Lila's hands.
When this goes badly, and it will, you won't take the spire with you. Do you understand, Bard?
Lila nodded tightly.
And for the record, he said, this is a terrible idea. You will get caught, maybe not right away, but eventually. And when you do, I won't protect you.
Lila raised a brow.
I'm not asking you to.
Believe it or not, Alucard, I can protect myself.
He looked down at the unconscious man between them.
Does that mean you don't need my help disposing of this man?
Lila tucked her hair behind her ear.
I'm not sure I need it, but I'd certainly appreciate it.
She knelt to take one of Elsor's arms and Alucard reached for the other. But halfway there he stopped and seemed to reconsider. He folded his arms, his eyes dark and his mouth a grim line.
What is it now?
Asked Lila, straightening.
This is an expensive secret, Bard, he said. I'll keep it, in trade for another.
Damn it, thought Lila.
She'd made it months at sea without sharing a thing she didn't want to.
I'll give you one question, she said at last. One answer.
Alucard had asked the same ones over and over and over. Who are you and what are you and where did you come from? And the answers she'd told him over and over and over weren't even lies. Delilah Bard, one of a kind, London. But standing there on the docks that night, Alucard didn't ask any of those questions.
You say you're from London.
He looked her in the eyes.
But you don't mean this one, do you?
Lila's heart lurched, and she felt herself smile, even though this was the one question she couldn't answer with a lie.
No, she said. Now help me with this body.
Alucard proved disturbingly adept at making someone disappear. Lila leaned against a set of boxes at the transport end of the docks, devoted to the ships coming and going instead of the ones set in for the length of the tournament, and turned Elsor's S-pin over in her fingers. Elsor himself sat on the ground, slumped against the crates, while Alucard tried to convince a pair of rough-looking men to take on a last-minute piece of cargo. She only caught snippets of the conversation, most of them Alucard's, tuned as she was to his Arnesian.
Where do you put in? That's, what, a fortnight this time of year?
Lila pocketed the pin and sifted through Elsor's papers, holding them up to the nearest lantern light. The man liked to draw. Small pictures lined the edges of every scrap of paper, save the formal invitation. That was a lovely thing, edged in gold. It reminded her of the invite to Prince Rye's birthday ball, marred only by a single fold down the center. Elsor had also been carrying a half-written letter and a few sparse notes on the other competitors. Lila smiled when she saw his one-word note on Alucard Emery. Performer. She folded the pages and tucked them into her coat. Speaking of coats, she crouched and began to peel the unconscious man out of his. It was fine, a dark charcoal gray with a low, stiff collar and a belted waist. For a moment she considered trading, but couldn't bring herself to part with Kala's masterpiece, so instead she took a wool blanket from a cart and wrapped it around Elsor so he wouldn't freeze. Lastly, she produced a knife and cut a lock of hair from the man's head, tying it in a knot before dropping it in her pocket.
"I don't want to know," muttered Alucard, who was suddenly standing over her, the sailors a step behind.
He nodded to the man on the ground.
"Kertas Nasta," he grumbled. "There's your man."
One of the sailors towed Elsor with his boot.
"Drunk?"
The other sailor knelt and clapped a pair of irons around Elsor's wrists, and Lila saw Alucard flinch reflexively.
"Mind him," he said
as they hauled the man to his feet. The sailor shrugged and mumbled something so garbled Lila couldn't tell where one word ended and the next began. Alucard only nodded as they turned and began to haul him toward the ship. "That's it?" asked Lila. Alucard frowned.
"You know the most valuable currency in life, Bard?"
"What?"
"A favor."
His eyes narrowed.
"I now owe those men, and you owe me."
He kept his eyes trained on the sailors as they hauled the unconscious Elsor aboard.
"I've gotten rid of your problem, but it won't stay gone. That's a criminal transport. Once it sets out, it's not authorized to turn around until it reaches Delanar. And he's not on the charter, so by the time it docks, they'll know they're carrying an innocent man. So no matter what happens, you better not be here when he gets back."
The meaning in the words was clear, but she still had to ask. "And the spire?" Alucard looked at her, jaw set.
"It only has room for one criminal."
He let out a low breath, which turned to fog before his mouth.
"But I wouldn't worry."
"Why's that?"
"Because you'll get caught long before we sail away."
Lila managed a grim smirk as Stacion Elsor and the sailors vanished below deck. "Have a little faith, Captain." But the truth was, she had no idea what she was going to do when this fell apart. No idea if she'd just damned herself by accident, or worse, on purpose. Sabotaged another life, just like at the stone's throw.
"Let's get something straight," said Alucard as they walked away from the docks. "My help ends here.
Alucard Emery and Stacion Elsor have no business with each other. And if we chance to meet in the ring, I won't spare you.
Lila snorted. I should hope not. Besides, I still have a few tricks up my sleeve.
I suppose you do, he said, finally glancing toward her. After all, if you run far enough, no one can catch you.
She frowned, remembering his question, her answer. How long have you known? She asked.
Alucard managed a ghost of a smile, framed by the doorway of their inn. Why do you think I let you on my ship?
Because I was the best thief?
Certainly the strangest.
Lila didn't bother with sleep. There was too much to do. She and Alucard vanished into their respective rooms without even so much as a good night. And when she left a few hours later with Elsor's things bundled under her arm, Alucard didn't follow, even though she knew he was awake. One problem at a time, she told herself, as she climbed the stairs of the coach and castle inn, the room key hanging from her fingers. A brass tag on the end held the name of the place and the room. 3. She found Elsor's room and let herself in. She'd raided the man's pockets and studied his papers, but if there was anything else to learn before she donned the role at nightfall, she figured she'd find it here. The room was simple. The bed was made. A looking glass leaned by the window, and a silver folding frame sat on the narrow sill, a portrait of Elsor on one side, and a young woman on the other. Rifling through a trunk at the foot of the bed, she found a few more pieces of clothing, a notebook, a short sword, a pair of gloves. These last were peculiar, designed to cover the tops of the hands, but expose the palms and fingertips. Perfect for a fireworker, she thought, pocketing them. The notebook held mostly sketches, including several of the young woman, as well as a few scribbled notes and a travel ledger. Elsor was scrupulous, and by all evidence he had indeed come alone. Several letters and slips were tucked into the notebook, and Lila studied his signature, practicing first with her fingers and then a stub of a pencil until she'd gotten it right. She then began to empty the trunk, tossing the contents onto the bed one by one. A set of boxes near the bottom held an elongated hat that curled down over the brow, and a canvas that unfolded to reveal a set of toiletries. And then, in a box at the back of the trunk, she found Elsor's mask. It was carved out of wood and vaguely resembled a ram, with horns that hugged the sides of one's head and curled against one's cheeks. The only real facial coverage was a noseplate. That wouldn't do. She returned it to the bottom of the chest and closed the lid. Next, she tried on each piece of clothing, testing her measurements against Elsor's. As she'd hoped, they weren't too far off. An examination of a pair of trousers confirmed she was an inch or two shorter than the man, but wedging some socks in the heels of her boots gave her the extra measure of height. Lastly, Lila took up the portrait from the sill and examined the man's face. He was wearing a hat like the one discarded on the bed, and dark hair spilled out beneath it, framing his angled face with near-black curls. Lila's own hair was several shades lighter, but when she doused it with water from the basin, it looked close. Not a permanent solution, of course, especially in winter, but it helped her focus as she drew out one of her knives. She returned the portrait to the sill, studying it as she took up a chunk of hair and sawed at it with the blade. It had grown long in the months at sea, and there was something liberating about shearing it off again. Strands tumbled to the floor, she shortened the back and shaped the front, the abusive combination of cold and steel giving the ends a slight curl. Digging through Elsor's meager supplies, she found a comb as well as a tub of something dark and glossy. It smelled like tree nuts, and when she worked it into her hair, she was relieved to see it hold the curl. His charcoal coat lay on the bed, and she shrugged it on.
Taking up the hat from the bed, she set it gingerly on her styled head and turned toward her reflection. A stranger, not quite Elsor, but certainly not Bard, stared back at her. Something was missing. The pin. She dug in the pockets of his coat and pulled out the iridescent collar pin, fastening it at her throat. Then she cocked her head, adjusting her posture and mannerisms until the illusion came into sharper focus. Lila broke into a grin. This, she thought, adding Elsor's short sword to her waist, is almost as fun as being a pirate.
Avan Ras Elsor, said a portly woman when she descended the stairs.
The innkeeper. Lila nodded, wishing she'd had a chance to hear the man speak. Hadn't Alucard said that Strauss was from the same part of the Empire? His accent had rough edges, which Lila tried to mimic as she murmured, Avan. The illusion held. No one else paid her any mind, and Lila strode out into the morning light, not as a street thief or a sailor, but a magician, ready for the Essentage.